How many of y'all thankful to be right here in the house of God today? You thankful you got to show up today, yeah? Well, we're going to get to the heart of the issue today. And then go with me, go ahead and go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to deal with the heart. You realize God's heart smiles when you worship Him. That God delights in the praises of His people. How many of y'all have come and you can praise God today? I mean, you can praise God. You say, you know what? I'm alive, God. I got potential. Things could happen to me today. I want to tell you what might go on in here today. Guess what? There's some people here today that showed up and want to know if God was real. You know, if we were to have testimony time, how many of y'all could stand up and say, let me tell you what? It's a real deal. Jesus Christ has actually done some real things in my life. I can verify this by what I found in the reality of my own existence. And I want you to know there's a God that loves you, and He pursues you, and He chooses you, and He will remake you, and He will put full and abundant life in you, but you got to decide to embrace what God will do. And so I want to pray today that we learn to listen to God, amen? I mean, really listen. It's about the heart. It's about the heart. And we make it about so many other things, but it's really about the heart. That God loves us and that God wants to do great things in us. And so I'm going to ask God to begin to give us ears to hear His heart. Sometimes we see what He's done, but we don't hear His what? His heart. And some of us today, we may have walked in this place thinking, man, I'm out. I've done too many bad things, man. I've messed up. I've done the big ones. You know, whatever those big sins are. Could God love me? Would God desire to save me? Well, the Scripture says He does. And I have found, watch this, this is just a human observation here in God's heart. I have found that God wants to get to everybody. God loves everybody, no matter what. But you got to decide to let His message get in you, and that changes everything. All right? Well, let's pray together. Lord, I thank You that You have given Your heart to us. Now, God, may we consider carefully, have we really given our hearts to You? Or do we just confess with our mouths that You exist, but we don't live in our hearts that You are real? Teach us today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, when you go to 1 Samuel chapter 16, we got four characters that are in play today. But before I get to them, I want us to embrace. We're kind of about halfway through our character series. And you run a check here today. You run a check and say, wait a minute. Are these the things I'm beginning to put in my faith life? Now, how many of y'all are going to be a little bit more like Noah? And you're going to take this invisible message of God and you're going to begin to make it visible. Remember, Noah's not the only guy building an ark. You and I are being a testimony to the ark of Jesus Christ's salvation, aren't we? Come aboard, get connected, connect with God so that you might be what? Rescued. We just sang about it this morning. How many of y'all got a dream? Come on, how many of y'all got a dream? We got any dreamers in here? How many of y'all beginning to get a dream? If you don't have a dream, get one. Get a dream. God, give me your dream. Guess what? Here's what God wants to do. God wants to love you. He wants to forgive you of your sins. And He wants to make you acceptable unto heaven. That's not only His dream. That's His reality. And then He wants to connect you to full and abundant life. I mean, John 10:10. You say, well, you talk about that a lot. Yeah, when we start living it, I'll shut up. How many of y'all miss out on what you could have been this week? You see, I'm talking live it out to the full potential, my friends. How many of y'all had a little temptation come along the way since this character series? Just like Joseph, I get a dream, but the dream gets tempted. What does temptation do? It pulls me away from my ultimate reality with God. Now listen, this is straight up. How many of y'all have lived long enough to notice this? People that live impactful lives make good decisions. And people that live crummy lives make a series of bad decisions. You getting it? You're young. You hadn't made a lot of bad decisions yet, have you? Huh? Think about this. You hadn't because you're what? Young. You haven't lived long enough to screw up enough. Isn't that great? That's the advantage of youth. Amen? But then there's this reality. I tell people this all the time. You've got two opportunities as you age. You can become a man or woman of wisdom in the reality of life. And you can embrace this full and abundant life. Part of a full life is knowing what not to do. See, it's full. You know what to do and what not to do. And that just comes with some age. Amen? How many of y'all, as you kind of aged along, your parents got smarter? How many of them were just, I mean, they were just old-fashioned, closed-minded, limited, and not current to the day's routine when you were young? And then all of a sudden you get older, you get about midlife, and you go, you know what? They knew some stuff. How many of y'all, your parents knew more than you did as soon as you got a child? You went, oh, now that's why they said that stuff. You see, we grow in wisdom, or guess what? You can grow in foolishness. And here's what a fool does. And please don't be a fool. Just look at your neighbor and just say, hey, don't be a fool, okay, my friend? Come on, just tell them. Tell your neighbor, don't be a fool. Come on, talk among yourselves. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. See, everybody's scared to do it to the sheriff. Watch, sheriff, don't be a fool. All right, see what I'm saying? Now, I didn't say you could, you know, joke around, but don't be a fool.
There you go.
Here's what a fool is. A fool consistently denies what God has said. And that's why a fool will end up in hell. Now, I want you to hear God's heart, because I think you need to hear this. I believe this with all my heart. Now, you know, you may want to change churches because your pastor believes this with all of his heart. And it makes me crazy. I'm not just crazy. I'm like supernaturally crazy. Because you know what I believe? I believe any human being can get saved. I mean, I don't write anybody off. I mean, no matter where you've been or what you've done, I believe it's God's heart. He wants to rescue you and save you and give you the life He's always built for you. He said, well, Pastor Steve, you don't understand, man. I got like a whole trunk load of bad decisions. But then I get to tell you this. He's got a super huge forever kind of cross. And He'll take your trunk load of bad decisions and put that big old cross right on top of it. And resurrect you to a new possibility. I don't know, guys, but I think that's worth singing about. And I think it's worth clapping about and cheering about and getting crazy about and living out because God's that good. Amen? But we got to activate it because we'll be tempted to step away from what God said. Hey, that's reality. And so we got to get certain, man, like Joshua and Caleb. If God said it, it'll happen. Hello? Remember last week? That was just last week. A lot of y'all were here last week. I saw you here last week. Did you remember what we talked about last week? Let me kind of update you on this deal called going to church. It does you no good to sit here and zone out. See, some of you, the temptation is right now, what are we going to eat this afternoon? And you're starting to have visions, but they're the wrong ones of like prime rib. And now that, no! God wants you, watch, here's why we worship. So I might get in God's zone, if you will, okay? I get in the God zone so I can hear what He has to say, so I can live out who I can be. That's why we come to church. We don't come to church, God doesn't go, man, they perfect attendance. God goes, they're living out what I've said. Because I'm going to show you, God's about the heart. We're about appearances. God's about the heart. And He's got a heart for you today. How many of y'all glad to know Jesus Christ has a heart for you today? Well, I'm going to show you four things. We got four characters in this story today. We got a God. How many of y'all glad to know we got God? God's always in the story. But no matter what the story, God's in the story. We got a king. We got a prophet. And we got a going to be king. So we got four characters today. We got God. Who's in charge? Well, how many of y'all have ever had... You know, we have positions like this. Some of you have positions where you have authority over other people. How many of y'all got a position? You're a middle manager, or you're a supervisor, or you're a teacher. How many of y'all are teachers? We don't have any teachers in here? Come on, raise your hand. I'm going to point you out. As a teacher, do you have authority? Over what? Oh my gosh, it takes God to have authority over preschoolers. Because those are positions of authority. Now watch. As soon as I say that word, I'm on a mission. I want you all to understand that this word, I even want you to say it to your neighbor, authority. Go tell them, authority. Come on, see, we're authority. Come on, tell them, authority. Or if you're from up north, authority. If you're down south, authority. All right? Authority. Now, I want you to tell your neighbor this. It's a good thing. Now, see, y'all ain't saying it. The devil's doing it to you right now. Authority is a good thing. Because under authority, I become blessed. You see, God has ultimate authority. Now check this out, and here's the heart of the issue. Under God's ultimate authority, we become blessed. But what do we want to do as human beings all the time? We really start doing this about 16. What do? How many of y'all, when you were 16, nobody knew anything? Anybody else like that? Watch this. At 16, I got to confess to you, and this is horrible, I knew more than God. It was amazing. God had been around from the beginning to the end. I had existed for 16 years. In my 16 years, I knew more than God did in all of eternity. Now see, when you start putting it on the logic plane, you see who God is and who the fool is. Amen? When you start putting it in a logical formula. Well, we had a king. His name was King Saul. And I'm going to tell you what he did. He didn't do what God asked him to do. And because he didn't do what God asked him to do, he lost the position that God had chosen him for. Now, here's what I want you to know. I believe once God saves you and appoints you, he's going to hold on to you. But I absolutely believe you can lose some of the positioning you have in life by not doing what he tells you to. Give me a head nod or something. When I say stuff like this, y'all get that shocked look on your face. Because I'm giving you the truth. So watch this. I got some young couples in here. Please, if you've gone through a divorce, don't go in the guilties for me because we're going to rebuild and get better. But I'm talking to our young couples that aren't married yet. Once you get married, I want you to stay married because that's going to be a blessed position. Now, here's the way we cure divorce. Let's get married to the right person right off the bat. You know how you do that? Listen to who? How many of y'all? I'm going to blow you away. Watch this. I'm going to blow you away. God knows who's going to relate to you better than you do. I mean, I've prayed like this before. God, I need to get married. And God, I want it to be that one over there. Now, who's in charge of that? What kind of prayer is that? What kind of authority is that? See, this is every day. I'm asking God to do what I want Him to do. And guess what God lovingly said? Heirs, you don't know enough to who you need. He sent me who I needed. He sent me who I needed. Now, He knew that I'm not one of God's brightest children. How many of y'all have more than one child? How many of y'all realize you love them all, but they not all got the same hard drive? Amen? I mean, they can all come from the same place, and you'll get one that's really smart and one that's less observing than the other one, and you get one that just does everything you want them to do, and then you get another one that'll do nothing you ask them to do. And here's what's so amazing. They came from the same place. They live in the same house. They hear the same stuff. They eat the same supper. And guess what? Totally different decisions. God gives us freedom, right? But here's what I want to tell you. Let's take your freedom to live. King Saul didn't do what God said to do. King Saul was instructed to take care of the Amalekites, wipe them out. Now, I know that bothers some politically correct people. And I know you all tried to write that out of Scripture and say, God really didn't say that. No, He really said that. You don't have the freedom to take out of Scripture what bothers you because it bothers you and because it doesn't fit into some little socialized model from social science that's only been in existence for 60 years. Okay? The social sciences have not been here from beginning to end. They've just been here with us shortly. I'm not saying I don't give some of it merit. I'm just saying it's not God. Now, here's why these people got wiped out. They were wicked. And I just want you to know that wicked people get wiped out. Can you write that down in your notes? Because we're very confused about that. Wicked people get wiped out. This isn't the first time Noah floated a boat. Why? Wicked people get what?
Wiped out.
Thank you, sir. Let's see if we can get some of the adults to kick in. I'm not sure they're believing me, young man. How many of y'all have seen wickedness wipes you out? Now, I know what some of you are sitting there thinking, well, Pastor, I've done exactly what God has told me not to do. And I got money, and I got prestige, and I got this, and I got that. And I'm living well. According to who? According to who? Y'all remember that sign, he or she with the most toys wins? Guess what the truth of that is? He or she with the most toys has got a big debt. What do you win? Here's what you win. An appearance of life. You see, God won't yield to our appearances. I'm going to show you. King Saul got in trouble. You know why? Because he didn't do what God said do. God said, King, don't take any of the splendor, the splendor of this country, the spoil of this country, the goods of this country. Leave the cows alone. Leave the sheep alone. Don't touch them. Stay away from them and get rid of everybody. You know what King Saul did? He kept a king and some prized cattle. Why? He knew better than who. Now, here's what I want you to know. Keep this in order. Even if I'm in a position of authority, and every one of you that are a father or mother, you're in a position of what? Authority. Mr. Turner, you now have a position of authority, right? Two of them. Cassie, you're in a position of authority. What? Mother to your child, father to your child. That's an authority position. Now, that's not a oppressing position. That's a blessing position. Now, guess what? Saul, if he had been obedient to God, would he have blessed Israel? Yeah. Watch this. His disobedience is what we're at war with today. That blow you away? His disobedience is what we're at war with today. God was going to take care of some problems a long time ago, but what happened? We knew more than God. Now, I tell you what, there's this angle of God, and I know some of y'all won't like it, but it's there. Sometimes God will give you what you want. Sometimes God will give you what you want. You keep on, you keep on. You say, and God says, all right, go ahead. So parents, y'all got those rebellious children? Watch this. You know what you need to do? This is a good way to handle rebellious children if they're over 21. Don't let them live with you. And let them go on their way. And here's what I found. There's some great rehab programs. It's called The Ditch. You're out of money. You're out of friends. You out of change, you out of position, you out of being the man or the girl, you out of entertainment. When you're out, I found that God will always step in. That makes sense? It's a great way to change. How many of y'all finally you just had enough of your way and said, I think God, you might be real? Well, we got a prophet. Guess what his job is to tell the king what God has said. The prophet went, Samuel went to the king, said, King, you've been disobedient to God. You didn't do what God said do. God, you're finished. Your position's over with. Now, I want you to note this. God never left Saul. He just stepped him out of his position. We get confused about this. You can't function in a certain position unless you carry out what God requires in that position. Does that make sense? Here, let me show you. How many of you all like listening to people that can't sing well? Come on, be honest with me. Come on, just get honest. How many of y'all, has this ever happened? I remember one time in the seventh grade, I was in youth choir because I had to be, not because I was chosen to be, not because God wanted me to be, my parents wanted me to be. And this youth pastor, music pastor, whatever they were, stood up and said, I want you to sing this line in a solo. It was the most embarrassing moment in my life. And right there, he just said, I want to thank you for trying, which meant you stink really bad in church language. I stunk so bad, he let me put the sound system up for the choir. Now, let me ask you a question. What if I had been deluded and said, man, I got a beautiful voice and I want to stand up and sing? Did you know in the church they would have let me sing? Because in the church, somehow or another, we are under this lie that we need to put up with things that are out of position. When really God says, no, get things in position. Make sense? Watch this. The king got out of position. This is just a note. Fathers, stay in your position. You are daddy. Don't be best friend. Don't be buddy. Don't be, your child's sports agent. Be their father. Mothers, be their mom. We need moms. Moms are better negotiators. We need that in the unit. We need both. Moms, act like moms. Dad, act like what? Why? Why would I give you such crazy, hideous advice? That's the way God set it up. You know what I've noticed? Just to look around. People that live out their families in the order of God have more stable families than people that live out their families that are out of order of God. What do you think? See, don't just believe, don't just read this book. See what it says, and then start looking around. And here's what I'm going to tell you today. The Word of God not only says what it says, it does what it says. It's amazing. King Saul got out of order. He gets removed from position. And Samuel's got a great problem. Guess what Samuel's got to do? He's got to go get a new king. And that's where we start, 16:1. Look at here. Samuel's mourning about Saul, and he's all tore up because he had anointed Saul. And then the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul? Since I've rejected him as king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I've chosen one of his sons to be king." How many of y'all glad to know when the king messes up, the king's always ready? God's always king. You know what Saul's problem was? He forgot who king was. How many of y'all ever forget who the king is? How many of y'all have done some things really well and started going, "Man, I'm really good at this now." And as soon as you got really good at something, you got really bad at it. Instead of being very appreciative, you said, "Man, I'm glad God's given me these abilities, and I'm glad these abilities are going out." Listen, I don't ever say this as a parent. My children are just wonderful. You need to be really honest. My children are wonderful by the grace of God. You see, you need to be thankful. I'm glad my children have decided to live out the ways of the Lord. Because you know what? I'm glad my children are embracing what God is telling them to them. That's why they turned out good. They didn't turn out good because they were under my care. They turned out good because I let God care for them. And they decided to listen to who? God. Listen to God. King Saul didn't listen to God. He's being rejected. Now, Samuel gets a little sweat on him. Samuel said, "How can I go? Saul will hear about this and he'll kill me." That's real, isn't it? How many of y'all realize this? I'm going to give you a great truth. If you'll do what God says do, even in opposition, you will turn out better. If you'll do what God says do, even in opposition, you'll turn out better. There'll be a blessing in spite of opposition. Now check this out. I want to tell you something. If you're going to be a leader, you've got to make decisions. How many of y'all found that out? You're going to make tough decisions, and if you've been in authority or been in leadership, what else have you found out? No matter what decision you make, what's going to happen? Huh? Somebody's going to be mad. I hear Judge Buchanan all the time. He's a friend of mine, and he'll go, "I used to have a lot of friends, and now I only have friends depending on what the issue is." Now, that's just a great truth. No matter what decision you made, what's going to happen? Somebody's not going to like it. Watch this. I remember this. I remember when praise and worship music came in at Hillview, I had a whole core of people that were ready to strangle me, hang me up. This is the devil's music. This isn't the way God wants us to worship. God was born in 1950 and he wants to keep the church in 1950. Everybody knows that. God only sings hymns, all that kind of jazz. Okay, how many of you all are glad we didn't surrender in 93? See? I had a group of people in the church. They're all gone now. But I had a group of people in the church, and they said, "We don't need to reach any more people. We need to keep it just like this. We need to stay in the chapel. We don't need to go forward. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da." Here's what I'm trying to tell you I've learned. If you'll stay with what God says, in spite of who says anything else, the blessing of God will be greater than the opposition of people. Isn't that good news? So stay tough, even when they don't like it. So God tells Samuel, "Here's what we'll do, Samuel. You go get a heifer. You go down to Jesse's house. You get to Bethlehem. You tell them you're going to sacrifice. And when they meet you there, tell them you come in peace. Consecrate them. And I'm going to show you who's going to be the next king, Jason." What do you think about that? How many of y'all glad to know God's got a plan even when you can't see it? Now hold on. I want to go somewhere here because this is important. This is the characteristic today. You and I got to begin to tune in to what God says and not what we see. Because what we observe is not everything that's there. And this is very important in human relationships. How many of you all have judged somebody falsely before? Okay, thank you. The rest of you, do you not see people? No, I'm serious. How many of you all have ever just made a false judgment? A misread? Yeah, me too. How many of y'all that have hired people have ever done this one? The resume looked great, but the person really stunk. You know what I find out people do on resumes? Oh, you hired that person too, huh? They lie. It's not about your stats. It's about your life. And here's why I want to tell you. God looks at your heart. Man looks at your appearance. God looks at your heart. Man looks at your appearance. Let me show you how this works out a little bit different. Man looks at what you have done. That's humanity. What you have done. Now here's what God gets to do. God gets deep with you, man. God, Robert, looks down in your heart to what you can do. Isn't that neat? Not just what you've done, but what you can do. How many of y'all realize that some of the greatest preachers have never preached yet? Some of the greatest singers have never sung yet? Some of the greatest people that can share about Jesus haven't even spoken yet? They just don't realize it. A lot of our greatest workers are in the nursery right now. They're babies. We don't know what they're going to do. We don't know who they're going to be. We don't know how God's going to use them. Isn't it neat? But I just want to tell you, look at your neighbor for a second and say, it could be you. Go on, just tell them, it could be you. Manly, it could be you. It could be you. It could be you. Oh, come on, y'all talk a little bit. You sound like a First Baptist church. Talk a little bit. Huh? What? It could be you. What if you're in the back hanging out in these blue whatever color lights we got back here? What if it's you? You know what? God would come get somebody back here before he'd get somebody up on stage. That's just the way he works. I thought if I hung out in the balcony at First Baptist Church, he'd leave me alone. So I figured if I'm in the back balcony, in the corner of the balcony, up against the wall, God's going to know that I'm not sure about this deal. He's going to get him a preacher that has like preacher-looking hair and a preacher voice and a preacher mind and a preacher attitude. And they usually sit up front looking at the preacher going, I want to be one of you. And I sitting in the back going, let us out of here soon. And you know what, God? God got in here. God looks at the heart. Man looks at what? The appearance. Well, Samuel has the same problem even as a prophet. He's looking for who God has chosen, but he can't find him because he's looking according to his own perspective. How many of y'all can't find what God's chosen because you always look toward your perspective? Please don't ever do this. I'm putting an end to this in my office. Do not come into my office and tell me God has told you. God has told you to get a divorce after 25 years of marriage. Ain't God. Now, if you'll be honest with me, I'll work with you all day long. I have chosen to get a divorce. Now, that's true. But not God. See, if we get honest, we'll get healed. I've heard this before. God made me an addict. Oh, please. You really think God designed a human being? I mean, if you've ever been through an addiction of any kind, do you all really think that God is that polluted that he would create a human being to go through a life suffering of addictions? What's the real truth? I've made some bad choices and I've got my bad choices in such a rhythm that I feel like I can't even quit my bad choices. I've made so many bad choices for so long I've dug a trench in my emotional mind and I even feel like this is natural now. That's why I tell people all the time, they say, man, I don't know if I can get rid of this. This is natural. I say, well, good. Since you and I have a supernatural God, I believe the supernatural can trump the natural tendencies. Amen? Anybody believe that in here? You say, what's this got to do with King? Are you going to listen to what God says? Are you going to look at God's perspective? God sees what you and I cannot see. Man, we are limited. Well, guess what? Jesse's first boy, Elbit, stands before old Samuel. Samuel goes, man, Elbit, this guy's got to be it. He was handsome. He was tall. He was leader-like. Watch this. Our politicians, how do we elect politicians? Hmm? How many of y'all elect politicians like, well, I really like them? Boy, there's a wide perspective. How many of y'all found out that likable people can be stupid? How many of you found out that just being a good old boy doesn't mean you know how to handle complicated world affairs? If you haven't, just tune into the news. And you'll see that our appearance of judgment is always limited. So I'm really going to encourage you on this. Be careful how you throw rocks. Because you're only throwing them according to your perspective. Here's what I found. Most human judgment that I hear is in a judgment on opinionated appearances. I hear very little judgment of somebody's heart being judged. Why? We're incapable of that judgment. We can't see a person's heart. But who can? God. Samuel knew God, but he couldn't even see his heart because guess what? Abinadi stands right before him, and man, Samuel just gets there. He's like, oh man, it's going to be a quick ceremony. Look at here. Verse 6. You see, when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. Guess what God said? But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now, guys, I want to sit down there for just a minute. When you start looking at people, you better start looking for their heart. We need to be the church of a heart, the heart of God. Not the appearance of religion, but the heart of God. I want to worship in the heart of God, not just in the rhythm of the song. I want to hear what God's heart is saying to me today, to you today, to the world today. It's about the heart. Do you know you can't defeat a heart? You can't defeat a heart. And a person who has a heart from God is undefeatable. A heart. And God looks where? Heart. Now, how many of y'all are a little nervous that God's looking in at your heart? Guess what? God said that. Samuel, you're looking at the wrong place. You know what? Some of you are here today and you sweat out following Jesus Christ. You know why? Because the appearances you have seen are greater than the heart of God. You know, you got this appearance. You think, man, if I follow Jesus, I got to look like this, speak like this, act like this. And God said, no, I want your heart. And once I get your heart, you'll become what I need you to be. Amen? Well, guess what? The other sons of Jesse passed before him. None of them are it. And then there's a unlikely candidate. Look at here. How many of y'all are the unlikely candidate today and you don't even know it? You may be a great warrior of God. You don't even know it. You may be the person that's going to change everything, but you don't even know it. You're just going about daily life. Look at here. Samuel gets frustrated. He said, Jesse, let me ask you a question. You got any other sons? The Lord's not chosen any of these. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? They're still the youngest, Jesse answered, but he's tended sheep. Let me tell you what. Here's what I found. If you'll be about what you're supposed to be about, God will get you in to other things. Can I say that one more time? If you'll be about what you're supposed to be about, God will get you in some other things. Make sense? Jordan Ward, if you want to do great things as an older man, guess what you got to do as a younger man? For you right now, you're on a mission. You got to make all A's because you're smart. What do you think about that? Kind of crazy, isn't it? If you make all A's now, what can you do later? Anything you want to. Anything God calls you to. Is somebody hearing this message today? I know some of you are going to go, well, that's an old-fashioned message, and we have different standards now. We say that no matter what happens, you're going to be all right. Well, I got a name for that standard, but I will not use it in church. But that's what that is. Because I'm going to tell you, the heart surfaces no matter what anybody else says. You put a human being under pressure in who they really are will come out. And if you in Christ, guess what? You put that human being in Christ under pressure, guess what comes out? Jesus. You put a human being who just has a bunch of religious appearance under pressure, you squeeze them down, and you'll hear nothing but air leaking. Because there's nothing there of God. It's past appearance. God was looking for a man with a heart. He found one. He didn't look like the greatest. But God said, I choose him. I choose him. This is interesting. Look what it said. He wasn't even there. So when he arrives, verse 12, he sent him and had him brought in. He was ruddy. How many of y'all have ever seen a ruddy person? Huh? You know, his hair wasn't real. He wasn't slick. His hair is kind of... The only other time this word ruddy is used in Hebrew is in reference to Esau. You know, Esau's kind of this... You know, Esau would have... He'd have been at that concert last night out there with that new hunting place. What on the interstate? What's it called? Ganders. Yeah, Gander Mountain. Esau would have been out there. But y'all got a discount on them new bows right there, them compounds? That's Esau. Jacob, what does a store produce like this? See the difference in the two brothers? What are the stock options I would have in this adventure? Esau, how far that thing shoot? It stay online for 100 yards? What about them fluorescent sights? See what I'm talking about? They're ruddy. What's David doing? It's a little boy, Jesse's youngest child. Jesse, his daddy, didn't even think he should be there. But God did. And God sent for him and chose him. He was ruddy and had a fine appearance. But God said he was the one. He was the one with the heart that would make a difference. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. He is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel went to Ramah. Wow. Now let me ask you a question. How many of y'all can begin to hear the heart of God? How many of y'all realize that God loves you today and He wants to save you? That's His heart. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, how many of y'all realize God wants you to share this message? That's not an option. That ought to be a natural happening. And it is for many of you here. But today, man, I'll tell you what. God just wants some of you to feel that oil hit your head. How many of y'all realize you've been chosen by God? You've been chosen by God. You better hear it straight up. If you've made bad decisions, guess what you need to do? I'm sorry, God. Put me in line with the way you've designed me. How many of y'all realize that's important in our lives? It's important. So today I'm going to open this altar up, and I just want you to be in prayer right now, okay? You know what? How many of y'all have this desire? Let's just do a little heart check. How many of you would want everybody in this room to be saved? Amen. Okay. Yeah. Now, let's think about that for a minute. Why would people want you to be saved? Give me some reasons. Why in the world would you want other people to be saved? Okay. There is the issue of hell. How many of y'all understand that? That's probably a real deal. Now, I know some of you are going, well, I don't believe a loving, merciful God would ever have a place called hell. Really? What evidence do you have of that other than your feeling? You know, I don't feel like sleeping every once in a while, but you need to. My feelings, please hear this in the name of Jesus, in no way dictate God's truth. Amen. And I'll even take it a step forward. My feelings are incapable of verifying God's truth. Saul didn't get in trouble because he felt bad. Saul got in trouble because he absolutely did not do what God said do. And God doesn't want you to be in trouble. He wants you to be blessed and loved. But to have that, you got to step into that. How many of y'all realize today, any human being in this room or outside of this room, just human beings, if you were to say this today with your mouth and your... Doesn't it say that the believer confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believes where?
In their heart.
I wonder why he added that. It's a real deal in the heart. God seeks hearts. How many of you today need to come forward and say, God, you know what? Jesus, I've never said this to you. I'm a sinner and I love you. I've come to realize you've chosen to forgive me. How many of y'all realize that's where God chooses us? Listen, hear this real quick. If God hadn't made a move, what would be the result of all of our activity? Hell. Now, I know this is uncomfortable. This is one of those things that, guess what? It's not popular that I say it, but when judgment day comes, I'll take all the shots for it. There's one way to get to heaven. Jesus Christ. And I know I got some deep friends here that have great intellect, and I honor your intellect, and I know your question. What about that naked pygmy on an island that's never heard the gospel? I've been hearing about this naked pygmy since I was in the third grade on that island. You know, that never going to get a missionary to him. You know what I believe? I believe that God's cross is so strong and His resurrection is so universal and so all-piercing. I guarantee you that God will communicate to that naked pygmy on that island about Jesus Christ. So when you go to heaven and you see a naked pygmy, you can say, Pastor Steve told us you'd be here. How many of y'all glad to know God will get to you? Now today I'm going to ask you to do something at this altar. You may have never done it before. I'm going to ask you to let God get to you. Listen to what He's got to say. For some of you today, for the first time, you enter into the exciting journey of saying, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins. Guess what? Here's what God said. God said He would save you and secure a place in heaven for you if you will repent. That means, God, Jesus, I am sorry. I have sinned. How many of y'all understand you've sinned? Not I'm wired that way, made that way, and I can't help it. God, I have consciously and honestly been disobedient to you. How many of y'all have done that at least once? Yeah, me too. This is why I love Jesus. He said this, even though you and I were sinners, He said, I'll be the Savior. And I will forgive you and come into your life and give you grace. And here's what grace does. Grace allows us to live it God's way. Grace allows us to heal a multitude of bad decisions. And grace gives us the power to resist making more of them. Grace, grace. God's what? Grace. Maybe today you need to come and guess what? We already prayed this at 8 o'clock and I think the Spirit already started moving. God, open my heart to be more like what? Your heart. I need some of you who follow Jesus to pray that today. And some of you, bless your hearts, you've already received Jesus this week and I want to give you an opportunity to come forward and be baptized. And just say, Lord Jesus, I know You're real. And I've asked You into my life, and I know that You've forgiven me. I believe You, but I need to be baptized, and I want to get that taken care of. How many of y'all ready for God to do something great at this altar? Now, let me help you. You're not joining this church if you come forward. Guess what you're doing? You're joining the kingdom of God. Baptism at Hillview Heights Church is biblical baptism. Church membership baptism is unbiblical baptism. It is not. Well, tell me what church the 3,000 people got baptized into in Acts 2 since there wasn't one. Baptism is about confessing that Jesus Christ has your heart. And it may be even a deeper confession than that. It may be confessing that you have His. I now want to be risen to think like Jesus and see like Jesus and love like Jesus and live out Jesus' possibilities in my life. Amen? So let's take a step of growth today, all right? Church, let's all stand together. And I want you to pray with me. Go ahead and get somebody's hand if you're okay with that. Just get their hand. And this is an altar time. I thank you for being very respectful in this altar time. Somebody's going to meet Jesus. Somebody's going to come and get baptized. Some of y'all are going to come and pray here in just a moment. And I just want to pray, Lord, it may be the person that thought you would never touch them that you've touched today. Listen, if it's you today, ready? Just tell Him right now, Lord, I have sinned, Jesus. I'm a sinner. You caught me today. I'm glad You did. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Jesus, I love You. I believe in You. And I want to be forgiven in You. So come into my life. Come on, somebody's saying that, aren't they? Come into my life, Jesus. Love me, Jesus. Just embrace that. If you need to be baptized, Lord, I need to be obedient in baptism today. Come and do that. Maybe you need to come with your spouse today and say, honey, I need the heart of Jesus to come into our marriage, and I'm going to hold on to that. It takes two to do that, I understand. Maybe you just need to say, God, I'm sorry. I spend all my time. Look at me just a second. How many of y'all do this in your prayer life? Spend all your time telling God how you see things. And maybe your prayer would totally change if you just came today and said, God, I'm sorry. I need to kneel down before You. And would You show me how You see things? Boy, I bet He would. God, I've been telling You what I've been hearing. Why don't You tell me what I need to what? Hear. Would that change things? Well, guess what? The altar is a place that starts changing things. It's not a place where problems occur. It's a place where problems begin to be solved. Amen? Begins the journey. So in the name of Jesus, I invite all of you to life. And I get to because that's God's heart. And He made every one of you and He loves you deeply. No matter what the bad decision, God would love to give you His decision. That He loves you and would like to forgive you. So why don't you come right now? If you need to be baptized, come. But most of all, if you need that grace of God in your life, come. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm inviting you today to do what? Come and pray that your heart would just radiate with God's heart. And then see what happens on Monday, okay? But warning, be prepared. Because He'll do it just like He did it in the Bible. So in the name of Jesus, come forward, be blessed, receive life, be baptized, be loved by God. Let's come. Come on, guys, move forward today. Don't stand there today. Come on, move forward. Let's worship.